Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, it's good to be able to just breathe in and soak in the stories and the witness of how faithful God is to us. I just really enjoyed that, and that struck a chord with me, that He is faithful to us, whether it's through reading, whether it's through the radio, whether it's through friends, family members, whoever step in the clutch and come and cheer us up. Just how faithful God is to break through no matter where we are in our lives, that He wants to meet us there and to bring us further to Him and just bring the world to Him, really, that He wants all people to know Him and to know of His love. But we're going to be speaking, talking about Acts 17. So if you want to open up to Acts 17, we'll get there in a minute. 17:10. But just thinking of that faithfulness, I've been reading in Genesis, and something caught my interest that I didn't expect. It's amazing that even when we look in the older stories that we've known, how God breaks through even through those passages. But in the garden, we know that Adam and Eve walked and talked with God, and that that they had that intimate, close relationship. And I always thought that that it simply kind of broke away and broke off when sin entered the world, because we know that there's that separation between God and man when sin enters. And so we've experienced that in our lives. But when I was reading, I realized that even after they ate of the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil, that God continued to speak and to work in their lives, that we think of even with Cain. That's what struck me so much. Cain and Abel. Cain kills his brother Abel, and God is talking to him. He says, "Where's your brother?" And I thought, man, you know, if I would paint a picture of somebody who would be in prison or something like that, it's Cain, because he killed his brother. But God still has that relationship with him, that there was that two-way conversation with Cain, that he wanted to call him to himself, back into that pure relationship. So just that idea of faithfulness just runs throughout Scripture. And we see that continuing, and where we pick up in Acts. Just as a little background, we've been plugging away at Acts for a while. Acts is kind of the sequel of Luke. Luke wrote it, and that Luke was all about what Jesus did and said, what He taught, and His actions. But then it moves into the early church, the believers in Acts, that Jesus taught them, and that He was the Savior that would come. They were looking for something other than how He came. They didn't quite expect Him to rule and to reign and to die on the cross, but yet ascend and go to the right hand of the Father. They expected a worldly ruler, a kingdom, something more physical than what ended up being even greater than they could have imagined. So we have in Acts, the early church, kind of the theme of Acts is Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, to the city, to Judea, that area surrounding Samaria, which was a little north, and then to the ends of the earth. So in Acts, we see that kind of lived out, that in Jerusalem, they were staying there until the Spirit would come on them, and we see that that happened in Jerusalem at Pentecost. So when Pentecost came, the Spirit came upon all of the believers, and they were speaking languages that they didn't know except for the power of the Spirit, and that everyone in their own language heard the good news, heard that revelation, and knew that there was something going on here. So we see, even in that initial spot where the Spirit broke through, that mission was being accomplished. That each person, whether in Jerusalem or to the ends of the earth were being reached. But let's take a step back even from there. When I was looking at this passage, I kept on getting pointed back to John 15. It says that in that passage that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And guys, if you could put up the map for me, I was just thinking of the world in that time that we can see. This is Paul's second journey. That's the light blue marks, but we see Jerusalem's down here. And just that idea of the vine and the branches, that Jesus is the vine and he desires that all men might know who he is. And so this was just a little microcosm of that, but we see that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Well, branches naturally kind of grow out. So we see that in Pentecost, but also just imagine this map and these blue marks, that those are the branches, that Christ's message and that relationship, that vine is being spread out across the globe, across the known world. So we're going to be looking in our passage specifically up. You'll see in bold in the top left, Thessalonica. That's where we just were last week. And we'll be going south. There we go, to Berea. And so we're right up in that region. But Christ's message of hope to all people, Jews and Gentiles, was being spread across the world, that the Holy Spirit was living within the people and they were expressing what he was doing in their lives. So zooming in from that big picture, we come from that idea of Pentecost, and we know that the church was dispersed and persecuted, and later on Paul was sent out. He was called in Acts 9. We saw that Ananias called Saul, who we know as Paul, and he called him and he said, "This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." So even before Paul really knew what he was getting into, Jesus had a plan for his life, that that he would be his witness, just like we see in Acts 1:8, that he would be his witness both to the Gentiles and kings, but also to the people of Israel. So, and that last part that it says, "I must show him how much he must suffer for his name," we're just up to Acts 17. We have a ways to go, but we've seen some of that suffering. We've seen him stoned, we've seen him beaten, imprisoned, run out of many towns. And just think of what that would be like for Paul. You know that God has called you to this, yet you're getting run out of towns. You see maybe a glimmer of hope, a glimmer of fruit and progress, and then you get shunned and thrown out of town. It had to have been discouraging to him, but we see that God was faithful even in that persecution, even in those struggles, that he was working within the lives, and we see powerful churches becoming about because of his work. So, unfortunately for him, we know he's going to face many challenges in the road ahead, but right now he finds a sweet spot in Berea. He finds a people that are open to what God has and what Paul's message will be. So let's look at that passage. Well, Acts 17:10, we'll be reading 10 through 15. "As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. When the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, they went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. the brothers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. The men who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. Now, looking at this passage, that doesn't sound like really a sweet spot for Paul. He was still run out of the town, but these people were receptive to the message, receptive to the idea that they weren't looking for a kingdom, they weren't looking for a ruler on earth, but that Jesus had come, died, rose again, so that salvation might be greater than just one earthly kingdom, but that it would be a heavenly kingdom. And we see a reference in the previous chapter, the Thessalonians. We remember in the Thessalonian church that Paul's message was taking root, and some of the Jews were jealous that he was getting some converts and that they were turning their ways. And so they created a mob, and they got the mob to throw him out of town, and they basically were sneaking out at night, 50 miles hiking down to Berea. So there's a stark difference there, without a doubt, that that the Thessalonians were kind of hard-headed and were thinking of just their turf and their people, and they wanted to keep the thing status quo. So they shipped him off to Berea, moved him out of town, shoved him out of town, but that those people, it says, were of more noble character. And Paul meets them in the synagogue. I was thinking about that when I was looking at this passage, that the synagogue was a meeting place that he knew that the people would gather there, but that was also probably a familiar place to him, being a Pharisee, and that heart that we know that in Acts 9 that he was called to be the chosen instrument to the people of Israel as well. But yet, even in his heart for his own people, and in that familiar place, we see prominent, powerful Greeks, both women and men, receiving his message. But the people of Berea were of more noble character. Basically, they were honorable. This word, I was trying to look up some background on it, because it kind of struck me. And the nobles only used three times in Scripture, and it's basically an upper caste, or one of the passages is that when Paul is talking to the churches, he says, "But you weren't kings and queens, you weren't nobles, you were just common people, but that God worked in your lives anyways." That he doesn't care about the system or where you are or what type of person you are, if you're wealthy or poor. He just cares about your heart. But these people were of noble character, that there was something different about them. And what was different about them is that they didn't react like, if somebody would steal a little kid's toy, they're not going to be very happy. And they're going to try to beat up the person and try to get the toy back and send them on their way. And we've been, Lainey's a perfect child, but my daughter. But we've seen that as she's growing up too, that, you know, there's something about that, that we desire that status quo. But so they didn't act naturally like that. They were curious, and so they instead went to the Scripture, and they wanted to see if what Paul said was true. And how many of us, when we get this new message that kind of doesn't jive with our normal walk in our day of life, how many accept that readily? But these people weren't jealous. They went to the Scriptures and verified it. And this is a good picture of just practicing their priesthood, that we as believers don't have a mediator between God and us. Jesus took care of all of that, and that through Jesus we're seen as righteous in God's sight, that we are his sons and daughters, that we don't need somebody to mediate for us, that we can directly ask him what he wants us to know, and he can speak to us, whether on the radio or in his word. And that's what they were doing here, that they were looking to the scriptures to see if what he was saying is true. And that God broke through to them, that they were struck by this word and they verified it, and so it was true, and so they believed. You know, it's simpler said than done. I know in my life too that, you know, sometimes you might know that something's true, but it's hard to accept that and to act out and live that out in our lives. So do we eagerly receive and believe? Do we take God's word to heart even when it's hard, even when it doesn't make quite sense like it would to the people of Berea? And do we look at scripture daily? Do we ask God what he wants us to know about what's going on at work, what we're doing, what we're seeing within the world? Do we bring that to him, and do we have that two-way communication with him that we can just listen and hear what he wants us to know? And the people of Berea, they accepted that, and word got out. You know, it's hard to keep something, a fire that's lit within somebody. If you're passionate, if you're, you know, I'm a Steelers fan, or I'm a Pirates fan more at heart, and they made the playoffs. So when they made the playoffs the first time in 20 years, there was a fire burning within me, and I think everyone knew around me how excited I was for that. And even in that example, that's not really an important thing, but that something as big as God's salvation in our life, that breaks through, that you have to tell somebody about it. And that's what we see in this passage, that word spread. 50 miles away, people in Thessalonians thought they were done with Paul, and they heard, oh, he's back at it again. He's doing something in Berea. We've got to go there. And 50 miles in that day was at least 2.5 days. So these people were out on a mission. They were out on a crusade against this Paul guy. And so they did the long journey just to push him out of Berea. But even in that, just that God's salvation is powerful within us, we need to share. And we see that the Bereans were sharing amongst their daily circle of influence, their people that they were seeing there. So they drove Paul away, but I noticed in the scripture that Silas and Timothy were still there. They had their vendetta against Paul, but Timothy and Silas were still there. And looking at the passage, it says that they were supposed to join him as soon as possible, but there wasn't a text message or an email that they could have sent. These guys were escorting Paul to make sure he was safe down in Athens, and that's at least 5 days' time. So there's 5 days' time if he took a boat, or 14 if he's walking to Athens. So just in that, even that time span, I think it's interesting that they drove Paul away, but that Silas and Timothy could continue on that work. That you might drive one person away, but that believers are not just singular, that we are a body of believers, and that you might drive one person away, but God's going to work through others. And looking at Scripture, That's a pretty normal thing. Even in Acts, we see that gathering, that the people were together, and then being driven away or dispersed. That theme continues to happen. That the early church, they were gathered and waiting for the Spirit. The Spirit came, and yet they were still together there in Jerusalem mainly. And then Stephen was stoned, and then everybody scattered. Or even with Paul and Barnabas, they were at Antioch, and the church of Antioch felt, you know, God's putting on our heart that Paul and Barnabas need to be sent out, so they were sent out. And then even again in Acts, we see that Paul and Barnabas have a disagreement, but what becomes of that disagreement is that they were together as a group one, and they can multiply their impact by splitting up. Paul takes Silas, Barnabas takes Mark, and they go into different directions, and they can build up the believers there. And the picture that comes to my mind is just breathing, that sometimes just that process of gathering in air and then letting it out. Sometimes it's maybe a Sunday service that we can gather, that we can encourage and strengthen each other. Or maybe it's when we gather together for dinner with somebody that we know, a believer that we can encourage. But you have these chances that we can gather together and grow and strengthen and encourage each other, and then you can breathe out, that you can live that life out with whoever you're interacting with at the rest of the time. Or sometimes, I think of recently, I've learned more and more of just how much God's wanted to teach me and how much he's wanted to just be with me and have that two-way communication. That sometimes even at work, I just have to take a breath and I'm seeing all these things and it's getting me rattled, and I have to ask, God, what do you want me to know about these things? To take that breath, to bring him into that situation, because I know he's there, but it's just recognizing that and asking him to speak in that. So just this idea of the breathing, that we can come together, we can build each other up, and then we have that maximum impact when we go our separate ways, but we live out that same faith. So are we experiencing that breathing motion? Are we taking in what God's teaching us through daily reading his word and sharing that with others? Or gathering even this Sunday and going to work, going to family, going to daycare, whatever it might be, and just living out that calling that Jesus has given us and that witness and the power of his salvation within our lives. So let's look back. I'm going to read a little passage in John 15, because that just keeps on jumping into my mind here, that it captures this thought. John 15, I'll be reading 5 through 8. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such a branch are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, growing yourselves to be my disciples." Just that idea that Jesus is the vine and that we can gather that strength from him, that if we have that relationship with him and he can fill us up, and that we have the Spirit and we can remain in him. Jesus was the perfect example of this. He says, "I and the Father are one. If I see the Father doing something, I'm going to do it too." And that I don't do anything of my own accord, but I do what God tells me to do. And that's the perfect example, and that is a continuous journey that we can take, that we know more and more of Jesus and that he captures more and more of our heart. But just consider that in your life. Are you remaining in him? Are you digging in and seeing all of the great messages and the challenges that he has for your life? Are we remaining in Christ and practicing our priesthood by having that two-way relationship with him? Are we digging into His Word? Are we looking to others to speak into our lives that they might point us further and deeper into Christ? And are we just having those times that we can just set aside and ask God what He wants us to know? And we'll have a chance here later even in this service, but may that be a little bit of a template through your daily walk, that you hit a rough patch, or if you hit a good patch, you say, God, you know, all glory and power to You. What do You want me to know about this? What do You want me to see? What do You want me to learn? And are we sharing what God is doing daily within us? If we ask God for something, we know that He's going to give it to us. He says, if you remain in Me, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. And if we are receiving those things, then are we sharing those things daily with those around us? It blows my mind sometimes. I don't have a quick mind, I don't feel like. I feel like if I could only have like a half a second or a second faster recall, that there would be things that come into my mind. I'm like, there was that chance, there was this. But that God is faithful, and if we keep our eyes open, He will give us so many opportunities. It's just unbelievable. So I just pray that soaks in your heart, and let's see what God speaks to us. No matter where you are, He's always been there. He's always been by your side, and we can invite Him to speak to us, that we might know how close He is, that He might break through and really speak what He has for us. So let's do that right now. Let's take an opportunity just to take that breath and see what God has for us. Lord, thank You that You are so faithful to us. Thank You that we can take that breath to calm down and hear that still, small voice that You call out to us, that You would be our friend, that You would be our Savior. You are so powerful, but yet You speak to us just side by side with us. That You don't lord it over us, but that You just wait. Just wait for us to listen. And even sometimes You break through, that even when we don't want to listen, You just keep on bashing us over the head with a message, that You are so faithful, that You know our what will be best for us. You know what You have for us is better than what we could imagine. So Lord, thank You that You walk beside us. Thank You that You are faithful to us. I'm thankful that You meet us here, and You meet us at work, and You meet us at the table when we eat, and You meet us when we're lying in bed, Lord, that You are with us no matter what. So Lord, I pray that we will experience that we will know Your presence, and that we will have that desire to know You more, and to let that message leak out from us and be proclaimed from us. That Your will would be done on earth, and that others would know of Your sweet friendship and Your salvation that You give us. We love You, Lord. Amen.